Leaning Toward Wisdom, Episode 4081. Her name is Amy Mann. It's from her CD, Lost in Space, 2002 record. Today's the Day. It's the name of the song. $9.99 over at iTunes. Welcome to episode 4081. What is today compelling you to do? Today's the day. If you have not figured it out by now, I mostly talk about the things that I need. My challenges, I don't think they're so abnormal. They might be. But I just figured that whatever I'm going through may have a broader application, including for you and whatever you're going through. The Beatles' Rubber Soul album turned 50 this week. Believe that? Tiger Woods, he's about to turn 40. There were two great articles written about both of these. Rolling Stone, they chronicled the Rubber Soul record and the making of that record. Time Magazine, they talked with Tiger. I thought it was an insightful article. The Beatles, they were still in their early 20s during the recording of Rubber Soul. Tiger, he won his first major, the Masters, before he was 22. An early start for sure on both counts. A fast start for sure on both counts. The point? Today matters. Today matters. The Beatles, they went into the studio to record Rubber Soul in October of 1965. Here's an excerpt from that Rolling Stone article I'm quoting. Given the album's impact over the past 50 years, it's startling to note how fast and frantic the sessions were. The Beatles didn't go into the studio with a mystic crystal vision to express. They went in with a deadline. They had to supply product for the 1965 Christmas season, which meant crunching it out in four frenzied weeks, from October the 12th to November the 12th. So they holed up in Abbey Road, around the clock, pouring out music as fast as they could, holding nothing back. They were willing to try any idea, whether it turned out brilliantly, the sitar, the harmonium, or not, the six-minute R&B instrumental jam, which they wisely axed. They wrote seven of the songs in 1 week. I think if my memory doesn't fail me, which it often does, there was a UK version and there was a US version. The UK version had more tracks on it. I think the US version had 12 songs on it. I think the UK version had like 14. So they wrote half or more of those songs in a week. In a week. And it's a, there are many people who say Rubber Soul is the premier album by the Beatles. You know, a real pivotal record in music history for sure. I saw a graphic this last week. I put it over at the show notes. You can find it by going to leaningtowardwisdom.com. In the upper right-hand corner where it says search this website, if you'll plug in the episode number 4081, it will take you to the show notes for today. And you can see this. It's a graphic of a yellow Post-it note. And someone has written in blue ink these words. Ships don't sink because of the water around them. Ships sink because of the water that gets in them. Don't let what's happening around you get inside you and weigh you down. And then the hashtag is stay up. I thought it was, you know, pretty good. You've heard that kind of stuff before, but you know, it's kind of funny when you get a subject in mind and you kind of start jotting down a few notes and ideas. It's just, I guess your antenna gets up and you begin to pay attention to things like this, you know, and things in social media kind of catch your eye because you're, well, in my case, I'm kind of preoccupied with these kinds of things. There are two elements that are in play for today's show. Time, namely the present. That's why I incorporated the term today in the title. What is today compelling you to do? And the second element, I guess I'll just call it fears. I mean, it's head trash, it's doubt, it's anything else that gets inside us, like that Post-it note says, anything that gets inside us and stops us from doing what must be done today. Today. Procrastination. Boy, there's a common topic. We procrastinate, all of us do. We procrastinate for a variety of reasons. I think sometimes we just don't want to do it. It's not that we're afraid of it. We're not afraid of it. We just don't want to do it. You know, I don't feel like mowing the lawn right now. Well, truth is, I never feel like mowing the lawn. So maybe I put it off. Okay, well, in my case, I actually don't mow the lawn because my wife does, because she enjoys it, so I don't have to do it, so I really don't have to put it off, but humor me, right? Okay, don't ruin my illustration. Sometimes we put it off because it's just not fun, right? I mean, we're still not afraid of it. I know a bunch of college kids, and they say, you know, I don't feel like reading the textbook assignment for this week's class. I mean, I'd rather play video games. I'd rather go visit with my friends. I'd rather go to Starbucks. I'd rather do any number of things. I mean, they're not afraid of reading their textbook. They just don't want to do it. It's not fun. Sometimes we put it off because we are afraid. And maybe we have no idea why we're afraid. I have asked people who admitted that they were afraid, look at me and freely confess, and I think they're telling the truth. I mean, how am I to know? I mean, I trust them. I'm afraid, but I don't know what I'm afraid of. You ever had that? I mean, I don't feel like making the phone call. I don't feel like visiting about that job today. So maybe I delay, I procrastinate. Because honestly, I would just rather my phone would ring. You know, some magic genie calls me up and guess what they have in store for me? Yes, they have the job of my dreams and I didn't have to call anybody. I didn't have to do anything. Be great, right? I mean, the killer job, it just lands in my lap. Phone never rings though. And because the phone never rings, my fears, they just continue to grow. And so another day is lost. Another day that was today. They are one of my favorite bands. The Bodines. It's from a 2010 record called Mr. Sad Clown. $9.99 over at iTunes. Name of the song. Today.
I want to close my eyes real tight. Let it drift away. But there's no turning back for me. Here today.
And as long as I can recall, it's been part of me. Though it isn't always so clear or plain to see, no. And it's so damn hard thinking about breaking off from you. But it feels just like it might be the right thing to do.
Yeah, that's a phrase that is in all of our vocabularies. No, not today. If you've ever had a home with teenagers, or you've been a teenager, or you are a teenager, I know what your favorite phrase is, or what you have heard a teenager's favorite phrase, in a minute. Hey, would you do this? Hey, would you do that? Hey, in a minute. Just how we roll, man. My grandkids, they are like most little kids. When there's something that they really want to do, man, they can't wait. They just can't wait. I mean, they grow increasingly antsy and impatient. They don't want to procrastinate doing anything that they want to do. I mean, tell them that we're going to take them to Six Flags and they can be dressed and in the car faster than you can say Judge Roy Scream. Judge Roy Scream is a wooden framed roller coaster. It's a big roller coaster, Six Flags Over Texas. I have included a YouTube video, an HD YouTube video that somebody shot of a, you know, it's kind of one of those point of view things from the front seat of this roller coaster. You really should go check it out. Episode 4081 over at leaningtowardwisdom.com. If you like roller coasters, even if you don't like roller coasters, you really should do that. But when my grandkids don't want to do something, you know, it's like dragging a mule. You know, they can go limp, toss their head back, start to whine like there's no tomorrow. Well, what's the difference here? What is the difference here? Well, I'll tell you the difference. Desire. They really want to go to Six Flags. For instance, they really don't want to go visit the doctor. Their desire for one is really strong. Their desire against the other, equally strong. It's the gap. It's that gap between what we really want and what we really want to avoid. The gap between desire and dread. Well, desire helps us overcome procrastination. Well, come to think of it, do we need to overcome procrastination when it's something we really desire to do? Because, I mean, I don't think so, because procrastination is not even in the picture, is it? It's not even a consideration. We're anxious to do it. We can't wait to do it. So procrastination is not within 10,000 miles of us. And it's not the same thing with dread, though. I mean, we will put it off. We will drag our feet. We will make every excuse under the sun. We'll throw our head back and complain about how now's not a good time. Now's not a good time because we don't want to do it. Speaking of roller coasters, last night, sitting here doing some computer work, and on the flat panel in the yellow studio is Restaurant Impossible. And I used to watch this show more faithfully than I do now, but it was on, and there was a poor woman, and she had this restaurant. It was in pretty miserable shape. It was filthy, as most of them are, that he goes in and cleans up, and it really needed a makeover. And she was just a pathetic boss. I mean, she didn't lead her people. She didn't even really tell them what she wanted them to do or what they needed to do, because she was afraid. She was also afraid of roller coasters, and she admitted this to the host. And in trying to get her over her fear of not confronting her employees, but just giving them direct things to do, like, hey, clean that. And if they didn't do it, you know, there was never any repercussion. There was never any accountability. There was never any, hey, I thought I told you to do that. Why isn't it done? She couldn't do that. She was afraid. So in an effort to get her over that fear, he blindfolded her and he took her to an amusement park, and he got her out of the car and he took the blindfold off, and she's staring at this monster of a, you know, of a roller coaster. And you can tell, no, I mean, she just didn't have a little bit of fear. She's petrified of this thing. And he made her ride it and told her, you know, this is how we're going to help you get over this fear. Of course, it made for good TV, you know, reality TV. Well, okay, semi-reality TV. So she gets on this thing, and within seconds, he's got her screaming, you know, I can do this. You know, it was a real motivational moment, you know. And she got off of it, and you would have thought that she had landed on the moon. I mean, she was just completely giddy with her own courage. And I don't know. I mean, those of us that aren't afraid of roller coasters, I guess, can't relate. I can't. I mean, line me up, man. I'll ride one. And when they got stopped, he said, you know, well, how was that? She goes, oh, no, it was, you know, she felt invigorated. He said, well, you want to do it again? No. And she didn't love it that much. She hadn't overcome her fear that much. Next scene they show, she is talking to the staff and she's telling them, I'm a new woman and it's not going to be like it's always been. And I'm now going to tell you guys what I need you to do. And I'm, you know, and it was like, okay, where'd this lady come from? Okay. Well, she was able to close the gap between desire and dread in that. Okay, she dreaded the roller coaster. She dreaded confronting her employees. She dreaded giving her employees things to do. And I don't know. I got a roller coaster in this show, so seemed fitting. There are just things that we don't do it because we just don't want to do it. Let me introduce another element to add to this mix, because right now we've got the element of time, as in evidenced of today. And then we've got, I don't know, what do we call this? We've got our head. We'll call that our fears, our dread. But there's another head element. And it's really not fear and it's not dread. Here's what it is. It's reaching a point where we just say enough is enough. It's that place we reach when we're tired of it. We're tired of where we're at. We're tired of the status quo. We're tired of things being like this. We're tired of no change. We're tired of no improvement. We're just tired. Sick and tired of being sick and tired. And that's when we tend to be open and move forward. This poor woman with the restaurant, her restaurant, she was swimming in debt. The business was failing. She was going to lose everything that she owned, and she was going to lose even some things that some relatives had owned that had loaned her money. She was in a desperate spot and something needed to change for her to move forward. And so her husband or somebody contacted the show, and to her good fortune, they selected her. You know, it's just how we all operate. We can get in what we think is a groove, and pretty soon it's a rut, and then pretty soon it's just a grave. Even if it was something that at first we dreaded. The sad thing is too many people don't move from dread to tired. Because you got to get to dread. You're already there. Now you got to get tired enough. Or something colossal has to happen. An intervention. You know, so you've got these drug addicts and Stone Temple Pilots, you know, I mean, they find the guy dead. He's not even 50 years old. They find the guy dead on the bus. There's cocaine and stuff. I mean, he's got a long history of abuse. And you think, man, why does a guy who's got musical success, any kind of success, why would this guy, I mean, are there not people close enough to intervene? You know, did they try and it fail? You know, I don't know, but we do what we do, even if it's destructive behavior like drug abuse, until there is some intervention. And the intervention doesn't have to be drug related, obviously. We just get stuck. We get stuck in the land of dread. Here's the killer of it. Miserable, but content. Content in our misery. Satisfied with our misery. Satisfied with our dread. Sound familiar? Yeah, of course it does. Because we've all been there. Now, I hope you're not there right now. And if you are, okay, good for you. You've tuned in to the perfect episode for you. The danger is staying there and living your entire life there. And unfortunately, there are people who do that. There are people who make the conscientious choice, it seems, that they're just going to stay and they're just going to wrap themselves up in this comforter of misery and dread and fear, satisfied to avoid doing what maybe deep down inside, well, maybe at one time they knew they needed to do, maybe they don't now. Satisfied with, you've met these people. I'm just not lucky. You know, I'm unlucky. I've got this curse. I'm living under this cloud, and boy, everybody else just has it so easily. And everybody else is just this and that and the other. And I'm just poor, pitiful me. People that are satisfied with defeat and failure. Now, here's the statistical truth. Most people are satisfied with a pretty high degree of defeat and failure. It's why there's the 1%. You know, I mean, there's all kinds of percentages in the world, you know, 16%, 20%, you know, the 80-20 rule and all that. I mean, take any group, and yeah, there's going to be a group at the top, a group at the bottom, and then guess where everybody else is going to be? Yeah, stuck in the middle. Stuck in the middle. This would be a perfect time to play the Steelers Wheel song, Stuck in the Middle with You. Man alive, it just now popped into my head. Not too late. That's a great song, by the way, Stuck in the Middle. Now, it's not bad if it's stuck in the middle with you and, you know, I love you. Great to be stuck in the middle with you. And I do love you. But sometimes we're just stuck in the middle of mediocrity, defeat, and failure. Okay, time. Time. That's the real elephant in the room here. We claim it's our most valuable resource. Intellectually, we know, I think intellectually, don't we know, surely we do, that it's the one area of our life where I don't care what your advantages are. You don't have a time advantage on me because we got the same time. I mean, you may have all kinds of other advantages on me, but we've got today. Today is the day. It's a day for me. It's a day for you. It's a day for anybody else who still is alive. And so the question is, what are we going to do? What are we going to do on a day like today?
Do you remember when you pushed your dreams aside? The road became so narrow, used to seem so wide, afraid of what they'd say, afraid to lose it all. You kept it all inside these blue sky painted walls. Where was I when you decided on a day just like today? Maybe we can see a change. It doesn't have to be always been. Still gotta write the rest of our history. We can't look the other way on a day just like today. Your eyes are telling me the things you haven't said. Should I just pretend that maybe it's all for the best? Fire for something watered down. Help me recognize just where the flame is now. What better time to decide it on a day just like today? Maybe we can see change. It doesn't have to be the same as it's all.
His name is Gabe Dixon. The name of the record is One Spark. The name of the song is On a Day Just Like Today. The album was produced in 2011. Available at iTunes, Google Play, and anywhere else. The downloadable music is sold for $9.99. Gabe Dixon.
Doesn't have to be the same as it's always been. Still gotta write the rest of our history. We can't look the other way on a day just like today. Maybe we can see change. It doesn't have to be the same as it's always been. Still gotta write the rest of our history. We can't look the other way.
If you Google the phrase time management, you will find over 501 million results. You think we're preoccupied with how to make our time count and manage our time? Then why don't we make better use of our time? I started to go over to iTunes and I just didn't do it. Because I didn't want to. How ironic is that? I put it off. Procrastinated. Didn't want to do it today. Thought I'll do it tomorrow. But, today I need to record the episode. So, see, that's how that works. I was going to go over there and I was going to see how many podcasts are focused on productivity. See, I'm old enough to remember in the early days of Lifehacker, when Lifehacker started, and then there were even some, I know there was at least one paperback book that was produced because I have a copy of it. I'm thinking that they produced more than that. And it was a pretty fascinating topic. I'd never heard of that kind of thing. Well, had the term hack even been invented prior to the internet? And life hacking was just, well, we all know kind of what that means now, but at the time you really didn't. It was just hacking these skills, hacking learning, hacking all kinds of things, hacking life, it was life hacker. But then it morphed into, it was really focused a lot around productivity. And come on, we've got Evernote and we've got all these tools and these productivity things. And I know there are a lot of podcasts that deal with productivity. I was talking to a client the other day and we were kind of lamenting how in some companies, in some businesses, they can become so fixated on preparing for the work, measuring the work, just an awful lot of things to seemingly make things more productive. And I made the comment, I said, I'm really fond of what Herb Kelleher, the famed CEO of Southwest Airlines back in the day, a real charismatic kind of a guy, real bigger than life kind of guy. When asked the question about Southwest Airlines and their strategic management, his answer was, our strategic man is we do stuff. We get stuff done. There are a lot of companies and businesses and organizations and individuals. Boy, they'll plan like crazy. They may not get much done, but boy, they're planning on it. I remember seeing an old, I don't know what you would call these things, an old saying. And it was from, and I know this is politically incorrect, but it's still such a brilliant thing. It was an old phrase from Civil War or pre-Civil War days from the South and picking cotton. And the phrase is this: mean to, don't pick no cotton. That's brilliant. I think it's absolutely brilliant. I don't care if it is politically incorrect. Mean to, don't pick no cotton. You know, I mean, you can say, oh, well, I've been meaning to, or I mean to. Think about your own life. Think about all the things you've been meaning to do, but you ain't done them yet. Mean to, don't pick no cotton. I guess there are lots of reasons why we put things off, why we don't do things, why we don't make better use of our time. We think we've got plenty of it. I think intellectually we know that we don't, but, you know, because yesterday was like today and the day before that was like the day before and the day before and the day before and the day before, you know, it's just like, yeah, we got more of it. We may not, but we feel like we do. There's always tomorrow, right? Well, until there isn't a tomorrow. And Homer Simpson, he's got the quote of the whole deal. Why do today what you can put off until tomorrow? It sounds funny when you hear it. Why do today what you can put off until tomorrow? But we act like that sometimes. And isn't there part of us? There is with me. There's part of me that reads that as I say it. Why do today what you can put off until tomorrow? And I think, you know, that's absolutely right. It's absolutely right. Why should I do it today if I can put it off until tomorrow? And so it's how we behave. Later sometimes seems like a better alternative, doesn't it? Now just it's not a good time. We convince ourselves of it, mostly because we really don't want to do it right now. Not right now, maybe later. How many times do we say that in a day? Not right now, maybe later. And of course, maybe later never comes. Story of too many of our lives, isn't it? And then life's inertia kicks in. Right? Things become a habit that maybe we never intended to become a habit, like inaction. Inaction becomes a habit. Inaction becomes a way of life. Focusing on our dread or our fears, it can override what was once a desire. I mean, here I am, and I'm like, I have completely fallen off the wagon? Yeah, fallen off. No, I don't drink. But I've fallen off the wagon in going to the gym. Now, a lot of things contributed to this. Number one, the gym that I went to closed and they moved and there was this big remodel thing going on. And so they had us going back and forth between these two gyms for a while. And then they got the construction all redone. They got the remodel all done. And the one that I was accustomed to going to for years and years, well, guess what? They sold that location to another one. And so now I've got to go and it's about the same distance, but it's a different location. I got to go to a different one. And I don't know. I just don't like it. Is good. It's different. That's part of it. The other part of it is I missed a week or two, and guess what? Man, that's all it took. You know, a decade of going pretty faithfully, and all it took is a week or two of inertia leaning me into, okay, not going today and not going tomorrow, and then it got easier to, okay, I'm going to go. I mean, just today I said, you know, about 9:30 in the morning, I'm going to go. I'm going to squeeze it in. And guess what? No, I didn't go. It's what happens, you know, that inertia, just like a black hole, just sucks us in. Too many of us live our lives that way. Focusing on our dread or our fears, it just overrides what was once a desire. So she tells us that she really wants a better job, but she never polishes up her resume. She refuses to contact that headhunter that she knows that we're constantly asking her, did you talk to the headhunter? No, I'm going to. But she never does. She still complains about her job and how her career seems stalled. And yet we remember when she was thrilled out of her mind to land this job. Yeah, this job that she now hates. You know, and back then she was full of fire. She was full of tenacity to chase this job. And we're left wondering, where did that go? Same person, different day. Time has changed things. Or has it? No, I don't think so. I really don't. I don't think time has just passed. Time isn't good. Time isn't bad. Time isn't negative. Time just is. It's what she's done with that time. It's what she's doing with that time. She's gone from focusing on what she really wanted, this new job, this job she now hates, by the way. It's not new anymore. she's gone from focusing on what she really wanted to being too focused on what she dreads. And I can tell you what she dreads. She dreads making the effort to change. I don't know. I don't know what she's afraid of. Maybe she's afraid of the unknown. I mean, sometimes a known misery, which is where she's at, it just trumps an unknown quest for greater success, greater fulfillment, more happiness. I'm not really sure. I only know that she's the same person, but she's different. You know, she has let some water into the boat, and that water is weighing her down. There comes a time when she's going to have to resign herself to her present misery and just live with it. Well, that's not the only option she's got, but I mean, that seems to be where she's headed. Or there's going to come a time. Or, here's the or. There's going to come a time when she decides she's going to do something else. She's going to make something better happen. Maybe she's fallen prey to the same delusion that often ensnares you and me. And that is, we think we got all the time in the world. They are the Subdudes. The name of the record is Primitive Streak, 1996. Available at iTunes for $9.99, and you should buy it. The name of the song is All the Time in the World. The Subdudes. Boys from Nollins. Can't you tell? Ah, the Subdudes. Today's show was mostly inspired by some recent thoughts that I had about faith, and so I had jotted down the question of, this was a few weeks ago, what does your faith compel you to do? And so I sat down and I pondered that question for a while, mostly focusing on my neglect of what faith compelled me to do, but things that I had ignored, you know, things that I put off, things that I delayed, not out of fear, not out of dread, just out of a lack of tenacity. Selfishness is what it is. Stubbornness, for sure. And while I was thinking about it, I glanced over at my whiteboard. I have a whiteboard just directly to my right. And I looked at my whiteboard, and on my whiteboard is written, among many other things, a Thomas Edison quote. And here's the quote, and I love it. What you are will show up in what you do. What you are will show up in what you do. And I instantly thought, well, I'm a slug. I'm a slug. I wasn't, and I'm not just guilty of doing things that I shouldn't, but I am far more guilty, I feel like. I'm far more guilty of negligence. Negligence. You know, guilty of a sin that I see plaguing many of us. Negligence. And I tell you how it's manifested. Hiding. It's manifested in hiding. And that's when I wrote down the title of today's show, except I changed what I had written down, because I had written down, remember, what does your faith compel you to do? And I inserted today in the place of faith. What does today compel you to do? And of course, then I just sort of made it, more even present tense of what is today compelling you to do. I'd love to tell you that I came up with some really just awesome answers. But again, I was feeling like a slug, and I didn't insert today in place of faith because I felt like time is more important than faith. Hardly. I mean, for me, they're joined, but faith is far more important. Maybe that's not the case for you. I would urge you to think about it, though. Faith, today, time. Here's the connection for me. Time weakens us physically. I mean, if you go read that Tiger Woods article in Time magazine, here's Tiger Woods, nearly 40 years old. He's endured 7 surgeries. I think 4 are knee surgeries and 3 are back surgeries, and he ain't wanting to have another back surgery. His health is not great. In the article, he mentioned that he was able to go out on the beach and walk like 10 minutes, and then he had to come back. You know, he had to come back and lay down. I mean, just that's all he could do. I mean, world-class athlete, and he's relegated to that. He's relegated to that because his health isn't great. The likelihood that he's ever going to play golf at the highest level, it's just not likely. That doesn't mean he can't win again. But for all of his millions of dollars, for all of his fame and misfortune, Tiger cannot stave off time and the damage done. Now, on the flip side, here's where faith comes in for me. Time can be used to grow and increase faith. In fact, increasing faith, it does take time. The spiritual side of us can grow over time. I'm not here to preach, just to provoke some thought. So I changed it to the question that is posed in today's episode. What is today compelling you to do? And I started to wonder what time was urging me or compelling me to do. It's a long, long list. I didn't write it all down. Are you kidding? I'd still be writing. I'd be writing for days and days. It is filled with some personal ambitions. It's filled with some professional goals. A long, long list of efforts. And again, another lengthy list of things that, honestly, I need to do because I've neglected to do them. And that's when I dragged out some Subdudes CDs, and I started listening to some of my favorite New Orleans music. And I don't know why. Maybe it's because I was subconsciously thinking of the passing of Alan Toussaint a few weeks ago. You know, Alan Toussaint, he was one of Nolan's most favored musical sons. It's why you just heard a song by the boys, the Subdudes, all the time in the world. And I remembered that over a year ago, the co-founder of that band, Johnny Ray Allen, he died. And I couldn't remember how old he was. I had to go back and look at some articles. I remember when he died. He died in August of 2014. And I remember at the time, I remember he was younger than me. He was 56 when he died. I mean, we're really close in age, but, you know, that'll put time in perspective for you. When you're about the same age as a man that you've been listening to for over 25 years and now he's gone. Yeah, that'll sober you right up. Time compelled Johnny Ray Allen to make music. I mean, I'm supposing that because that's what he did with his life. Remember, Thomas Edison said it. What you are will show up in what you do. Well, Johnny Ray, he played bass and he wrote songs and he co-founded the Subdudes. I mean, that's what he did with his time. And you just listened to his work during the last musical segment of the show. You never knew that until now, though, did you? I mean, today I was compelled to share the Subdudes with you. And stay tuned, because at the very, very end of today's show, yeah, you know that secret part of the show at the very end? Yeah, that during that show. I'm going to play an awesome cover song that these boys did. I mean, it is a classic. It's a classic. No, don't fast forward now and get to it. I got other stuff to say before we get to that, but it's awesome. It is awesome. Hey, that's what today compelled me to do. See? I mean, today compelled me to share the Subdudes with you. That's right. That's exactly right. See how that works?
Shoelaces untied. You can dry your eye. A perfect shadow's lie behind us. And this is the day I'm making mine. The way you're all the way from Nice today on a train. Nothing to say, but there's still time. And you are the one I've been waiting for today. And here comes the sun. It's been
Joshua Radin, R-A-D-I-N. It's from a 2007 record. We Were Here. Name of the song is Today. Also available for $9.99 at iTunes, Google Play, and anywhere else. Downloadable music is sold. Joshua Radin.
I thank God you came along. Here comes the sun.
I get that some things take time. I mean, success, for instance, it's a slog. It's hard work, tough times, persistence, sticking with it. The Sub Dudes, they did it starting out in a club in New Orleans. It took a few years before they had a record, and I doubt you ever heard of them, though. I mean, even though they've been going for 3 decades, I mean, they're kind of a reconnoitered version of them today. They broke up in 96, but they got back together, and, you know, it's a little bit of a different group, but I doubt you ever heard of them. If you did, hey, tweet me if you had heard of the Sub Dudes prior to today. I'm curious. Maybe it's too soon to tell what the final outcome is going to be. But even the Sub Dudes, they knew early on that it wasn't too soon to start doing what must be done if they wanted to play music for a living. Hello, enter Desire. Desire. It evidently trumped whatever dread they had or whatever fears they had. I don't know any of these guys personally. But I do know, based on their actions, that they wanted to play music more than they wanted to do anything else because, well, that's what they did. And like Tiger and like the Beatles, they started early. Now, those levels of success, they don't look anything alike, but that's not the point. I mean, here, line them up. Tiger Woods, the Beatles, the Sub Dudes. And, okay, which one doesn't fit? I mean, even the Sub Dudes will say, well, duh, we don't fit. I love them. But that's not the point. The point is that people who accomplish things do things. They do things right now. They take advantage of the present, even if it's hard. Back in episode 4010, leaningtowardwisdom.com, just search for the number 4010. I did an episode on process, how process is important. And in that show, I mentioned the Hamburg, Germany travel for the Beatles. You know, they're 2 or 3 year stay in Hamburg, living in a hovel, and still they played every day, taking advantage of the present. Today's all we got. Today is all we've got. Life is right now. Now, it doesn't mean that we shouldn't plan. It doesn't mean we shouldn't anticipate. And like that conversation I was having with a client about all the planning for work, you know, the analogy I made is a little bit like the little kid who doesn't yet know how to ride a bicycle, but they're sitting back and they're staring at their new bike. And it's like looking at it, thinking about it, pondering it, and envisioning themselves riding it is going to make them ride it. No, it won't work. I mean, it's great to have a plan. It's great to get ready. It's great to learn whatever you got to learn. You know, I mean, you got to learn how to get on it, how to sit on it, and where to put your feet and how to hold the handlebars. But I mean, you know, eventually, you and I both know what you got to do. Yeah, you got to get on it, take the kickstand out from under it, and just pedal and try to ride. I mean, it's fun and it's profitable to do some planning and some anticipating. And it's also fun to reminisce. It's fun to go back. I love going back to looking at old photos and retelling old stories. But there's no promise of tomorrow, and there is absolutely no chance for us to alter the past. Yeah, we can fix some things that we may have botched in the past, but it's over. You know, we're not going to be able to go back and redo it completely. I've talked about it before, but it had a very profound effect on me. Jeremy Rifkin wrote a book in 1987 called Time Wars, and it was written before LCD technology was commonplace. Digital watches mostly had, I'm sure, unless you're an old fellow like me, you don't remember, but they had red LEDs. Before that, all you saw were analog watches that had, you know, an hour hand, a minute hand, a second hand. Do you even own one of those anymore? I've got a few. Well, Rifkin observed in this book, and in the early part of this book, how digital technology and watches was impacting our perception of the past and the future. If you look at a clock with hands and you see what time it once was, you can see obviously what time it is, but you can also see what time it used to be. And you can also anticipate and see what time it's going to be. My grandkids don't know how to tell time with an analog clock. I mean, there's something sad to me about that. I'm sure it's old fogyism. Nor are kids being taught to write cursive, by the way. What is the world coming to? when you look at a digital clock, you don't get the same perspective. You don't get, there's no sense of a past and there's no sense of a future. It's just present. I mean, look at your, go ahead, look at your, you're probably looking at it anyway. You're probably on it right now. You probably got your earbuds and you're probably using your cell phone to listen to me. What time is it? It's whatever the present time is. It's constantly displaying the present, the present, the present, the present. That's all. The paradox is that in spite of that, so many of us live our lives in the future or the past. I mean, this digital age that we are in is the age of present, at least when it comes to a clock. Okay, I'll really blow your mind. Watch any group of people staring at their phones. You hardly see anybody as present. Literally or figuratively. In the age of engagement, present, 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 present is the only time that we're looking at. And yet there's lots of disengagement. Funny how that works. Today gives way to all the wasted hours that pass us blindly while we are distracted or while we have been distracted with stuff that just doesn't serve us. Doesn't serve us. Well, except to entertain us or to pacify us. And I guess in some ways that serves us, or maybe people feel like it serves us, but I don't know that it really serves us because, well, it's trite, but it's true. It's just, it's funny how time slips away. Mr. Al Green from More Greatest Hits. It's a CD that I own. Obviously a duet with Lyle Lovett. Funny how time slips away. It's a 1998 CD, and no, sorry to tell you, couldn't find it in iTunes. Did not look in Google Play. I don't care. Go to a store, buy the CD, find it somewhere. Al Green, how great is he? Lyle Lovett. equally great. Like both of these guys a lot. That's what I wish I could do right there. That falsetto screaming. Got to see Lyle Lovett and his big band, the Ryman, in Nashville, Tennessee. It's pretty spectacular, man. I mean, it really was. It really, really was. I will revisit some Al Green here in the, I don't know, what do they call it? The epilogue. Very tail end of this gig. You know, I continue to be fascinated by the guitarists of the world who talk about learning to play the guitar back in the days of vinyl records. You know, where you lifted the needle off the record so that they could try to replicate what they were hearing. And then just doing it over and over and over again. I mean, you talk about patience now. The patience that would be required to accomplish proficiency. Well, the likes of Joe Walsh and Keith Richards, you know, that generation, you constantly hear these guitar players talk about buying a record and hearing some guitar riff. And, you know, they put the needle down on the record and they listen to a few notes and then they lift the needle up and then they try to replicate it. Now, I mean, they're just trying to figure it out by listening. Pretty spectacular. I mean, when you think about the patience that was involved, people determined to figure it out. Guitar players trying to figure out how to make those notes, how to create those sounds, how to get those tones, hours every day, days of every week, weeks turning into years. Learning takes a lot of time. Well, it takes a lot of time when that's how you're learning it, but think of the dedication and the determination to learn that. You know, but it was always, it was a today activity. I mean, these were not guys and gals. These were not people who were wasting their time. As in Animal Liberation Orchestra, another favorite band of mine. It's from a 2006 record entitled Fly Between Falls. The name of the song is Wasting Time. You can buy the record for $9.99 at iTunes. You won't be wasting your time if you buy it. I kind of dig these guys. It's a little long song, so not going to play the whole thing, but enjoy a few seconds more. Drank it down while watching these men. Somebody stuck a dupe in my hand. Well, I took a hit and I passed it on. I woke up on the pavement not before too long. I never learned, but that's all right. Because sometimes it takes a couple of tries. But I never learned, but I don't mind. Joe Walsh, Keith Richards, and a host of other guys learned to play the guitar, doing it that hard way with vinyl. I clearly was not compelled by today, any day, to learn to play the guitar because I've never learned. And it ain't fear. It's not really even dread. It's just pure lack of desire when compared to other things. I mean, these were guys, typically young guys, teenage guys or earlier, and they desperately wanted to learn it. And so they did whatever they had to do. Now, if I had spent as much time learning to play the guitar as I have podcasting over the last 10 plus years, I'd be able to play the guitar. And you know what? I'd probably be able to play the guitar reasonably well. I mean, come on, a decade? But podcasting and sharing ideas, and I'm just throwing that out there as an illustration, you know, that mattered more. I mean, truth is, it still does. I mean, that's why I do what I do, because I'm like you. I do mostly what I want to do. It's not always what I should do. It's not even always what I need to do, but today and every day, I do mostly what I want, and I avoid mostly what I want to avoid. I avoid the stuff that I dread, and so do you. It's just, it's what we do. And I guess to some degree, we all create our own good times. And you know what? We probably also create our own bad times too. His name is David Bearwald. I love the record. I've loved it since it came out in 1990. Name of the record is Bedtime Stories. Name of the song is Good Times, and you gotta buy it. And I'm gonna tell you why. It's only $5.99 at iTunes. That's why. He was one of the Davids from David and David. Yeah, they had a hit or two, and that was a good record too. But I really like this one. I have driven fast around many curved roads with windows down, driving way too fast, listening to this song. I hope these are good times. I hope you're making them good times. You know, somewhere along the line of my hope or my desire to learn the guitar, I gave up the fight. I don't remember when. It was a long, long time ago. But that's what happens to us. We either hide or we fight. It's the stress of today, whatever the day is. It's the stress of today and our reaction to it. The question that serves as today's title, I think, gives way to maybe what is the real question, and that is today. Yeah, right now, today, Are you going to fight or are you going to hide? It's a common theme in my life these days. It's a common theme in my own life. It's a common theme in the lives of people that I love. It's a common theme in the lives of my clients. I mean, it's a universal. Yeah, nobody's immune. It's a universal dilemma. Okay, maybe it's not so much a dilemma at all because it's mostly in our head. It's the water that we are allowing into our boat to weigh us down and to sink us. It's noise, it's foolishness, it's distraction, it's delusion, and it's mostly imaginary. I mean, it really is. I mean, we contemplate the worst thing that can happen, and we think the worst thing that can happen. Now, for me, I've always made this argument, and take issue with this if you care to. There isn't much courage in asking the question, what's the worst thing that can happen? The courage is in answering the question, what is the worst thing that can happen? And look at how rarely the worst thing that can happen does happen. I mean, it doesn't, but that's what fuels our fear. I mean, the bottom line is we're often just so stinking afraid. And so that fear paralyzes us from doing anything. And so we do nothing today. Tomorrow though. Yeah, we'll do it tomorrow. I mean, it's like there's going to be some magic fairy that's going to come and sprinkle courage dust all over us while we sleep. And tomorrow we'll have the courage. We'll have the conviction. That dread, it will go away. The fears, they will be, you know, completely resolved. No, not so much. I mean, sometimes we don't get our priorities straight. So there is that. We're busy with unimportant stuff, but it's stuff we want. And so our selfishness can fuel us to deny work that would greatly benefit us. Listen, come on, you see it. The shopaholic spends money that they don't have so they can feel better instead of sitting down to budget their finances. Okay, which is more fun, shopping or budgeting? Well, shopping. But budgeting is more profitable. And so the credit card debt, it increases because a moment of gratification just creates too high of a high for the shopaholic to ignore. A lack of discipline to invest in something more valuable surrenders to, I don't know, a pair of shoes, a new golf club. And the value of that, well, it ain't going to last more than a few months, if that. And then we got to go shop for something else to get the high all over again. Today's behavior causes us to pay an even heavier toll tomorrow. You know, it's like compound interest. Our foolishness. Yeah, it's like compound interest. Your foolishness can grow exponentially. All of our foolishness grows exponentially. It makes our lives just more miserable as time goes by. Welcome to the merry-go-round that is the life led by far too many people. Today compels us to do or to avoid something. I don't know what it is for you. What is it for you? What are you hiding from? What are you fighting for?
I look in your eyes, but honey, I can see nothing at all. And everybody's starting to know. Well, she turned and she said to me, baby, baby, please, don't give up this fight. I saw you dance tonight. Baby, baby, please, don't give up this fight. I saw. Like she had it all. Then everything started to fall. When she turned, she said, well, nothing you do can ever be seen to turn me off. And everybody's starting to know. When she turned and she looked and she said, baby, baby, please,
don't give up this fight.
Yeah.
I saw you dance tonight.
Baby,
baby, please don't give up this fight.
They are the Magic Numbers. The record is entitled the same thing, The Magic Numbers. The name of the song is Don't Give Up the Fight. 2005, that's the release date. Price? Eh, you know the price by now. $9.99. I mean, everything's $9.99. Well, now that David Bearwall, that was only $6. $5.99. Magic Numbers, Don't Give Up the Fight. It's a pretty good record. It's pretty catchy. Yeah, you've never heard of them either, but doesn't matter. I like them.
Baby, please don't give up this fight.
Yeah.
I saw you dance tonight.
Baby,
baby, please don't give up this fight.
Well, as we wind down, today I was compelled to share these thoughts because my life needs the message. Friends and clients, I know they need the message. And I don't know about you, but I'm ready to make today count for something more lasting, something more profitable. I'm tired of losing too many todays to yesterday. I'm tired of wishing I had done this instead of that. I'm tired of the results or the lack of results in my own life. I'm rather tired of the lack of results in the lives of the people that I care about. And that includes you. You know, I'm just kind of tired of being tired. I'm tired of not taking advantage of the opportunities that today brings because of fear or dread. And I want you to be tired of it too. And I can't want it for you any more than you can want it for me. This is the tough, lonely part. That is, we have to do it for ourselves. We can't do it for other people, and nobody can do it for us. So as we sit there and we think, if only I could just conquer this one fear, then I would do that or I would do this. And you know what? The this or the that that you're avoiding to do might make all the difference in the world. Yes, it might. It absolutely might. Otherwise, we're going to put one foot in front of the other. Time is going to march on. And there's a classic, classic, classic song that I'm going to end the show and play for you right now. No, this isn't the special one. That's coming up later, so stay tuned. But this is a song, and I'm going to let it play in duration because it's, man alive. Especially if you're a father, it'll hit you. And even if you're not a father, it'll hit you. And it will hopefully remind us of just how important today is.
Child arrived just the other day. He came to the world in the usual way, but there were planes to catch and bills to pay. He learned to walk while I was away, and he was talking for I knew it. And as he grew, he'd say, I'm gonna be like you, Dad. You know I'm gonna be like you. And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man. Coming home, Dad, I don't know when, but we'll get together then. You know we'll have a good time then. My son turned 10 just the other day. He said, thanks for the ball, Dad, come on, let's play. Can you teach me to throw? I said, not today, I got a lot to do. He said, that's okay. He walked away, but his smile never dimmed. Said, I'm gonna be like him. Yeah, you know I'm gonna be like him. And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon, little
I don't know when, but we'll get together then. You know we'll have a good time then. Well, he came from college just the other day, so much like a man I just had to say, son, I'm proud of you, can you sit for a while? He shook his head and he said with a smile, what I'd really like, Dad, is to borrow the car keys. See you later, can I have them, please? And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, son, I don't know when, but we'll get together then, Dad. You know we'll have a good time then. I've long since retired, my son's moved away. I called him up just the other day. I said, I'd like to see you if you don't mind. He said, I'd love to, Dad, if I can find the time. You see, my new job's a hassle and the kids are the flu, but it's sure nice talking to you, Dad. It's been sure nice talking to you. And as I hung up the phone, it occurred to me he'd grown up just like me. My boy was just like me. And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, son, I don't know when, but we'll get together then, Dad. We're gonna have a good time then.
Harry Chapin, the record, well, the record that I have it on, is Verities and Balderdash. 1974, it was a great year for music. Cat's in the Cradle. Here's the price point at iTunes, $9.51 for the record, Verities and Balderdash. And, you know, it's a song that, yeah, I'm not going to tell you that in 1974 it was my cup of tea, but of course as I've gotten older, and the song is always, I mean, it's always impacted me as a father, and more so as I get older. Well done, man, very well done, Harry Chapin, and it's a record. Yeah, it's sure, it's a record you should own. I do. And you know, I've got great taste in music, and that's episode 4081. What is today compelling you to do? Today's the day. Today's the day. I'm glad that you listened. I hope that you'll tell a friend. I hope you're subscribed to the podcast. Got no calls to action today other than for you to answer the question, what is today compelling you to do? And not just answer it, but go ahead and get busy doing it. Doing it. You can reach me any number of ways by visiting the website, leaningtowardwisdom.com. I'd love to hear from you. I'd like to hear your story, what you're struggling with. If I'm helping in any way, even if I'm just helping provoke some thought, maybe provide you a little bit of inspiration, then that'd be great. My name is Randy Cantrell, coming to you from Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas, inside the Yellow Studio. Thanks for listening. All right, here it is. It's coming up. It's going to be great. It's going to be epic. We're going to end on a high note. If you've stayed with me this long, congratulations, because you're fixing to be dazzled. Al Green, I played Al Green earlier in a track, Funny How Time Slips Away with Lyle Lovett. This is not Al Green, but it's an Al Green song. It's by the Subdudes. It is from their record Lucky. 1991 was the year of the release. Tired of Being Alone, $9.99. And I'm telling you, the song alone is worth $10. You ready? Sing along, okay? I don't care where you're at. Who cares? Sing along, because it's great. It's just great, and they do a wonderful job of it. Enjoy.